It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
And the Chops.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, I hope your St. Patty was good because mine was. And it's the weekend now. And man, we had some wonderful weather during the middle of the week. I'm Jop. Barbecue Bob is back from sabbaticals. Glad you're here, brother.
Hey, thanks, man. I'm just popping open a Lost Art.
These are your new favorite beer, man.
These two guys, young fellas brewing, you know, just love them. And this one happens to be, oh, goodness sakes. Oh, it's a double Rudy. So it's their St. Patrick's Day leftover.
Right.
It's
Rudy was the Irish stout, and this is a double Rudy.
It's a double stout.
Right. So must be he didn't get enough of Rudy on St. Patty's Day, so they doubled him up.
I didn't do anything for St. Patty's Day. How about you?
Well, I tried, but it didn't work because I was a dedicated insurance guy, terrible, and worked till about 4:30 and then tried to go down to a local Irish pub and have one, and there's a line outside the door, and it was like, bag it, not worth it. Go home and have one there. And
If you want to hear some Irish music, my wife's got a ton of it. Just she'll send it to you.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's not that good. I used to put up with it. Well, you know what we used to do every year.
And right.
She didn't do any of it this year.
Wow, that's crazy.
I know.
Well, we're all getting older, Bob. Speaking of not doing things and not doing them well, I did a corned beef and cabbage on the weekend after the show last weekend. I didn't think I'd have time on St. Patty's Day at night, and I didn't. So I did it on the weekend, and I did it in Chaz was here, and he gave me a recipe for the Dutch oven. I don't know what I did, but I put the carrots and the potatoes. I didn't use cabbage. I used Brussels sprouts instead underneath it, and you know, put those all in the bottom of the Dutch oven, literally, and then put the piece of corned beef in there after I seared it for a minute on either side, and that thing, and when I put the lid on and I put it in a 300 degree oven and I gave it 2 hours, right? So that thing puffed up in that Dutch oven. It was like double the height, and it all shrunk together like it would on a beef rib. And
so it looked like an untrimmed flat iron.
Yeah. And then I put a thermometer in it because I wasn't checking it when it was cooking, and it was 205 degrees. I'm like, a little far beyond where I wanted, but I want to be able to slice it, right? That thing was like eating rubber bands. I have no idea. At 205, it should have been really good, sliced and tender.
I'm telling you, it was like eating rubber bands. Your wife went to Meijer instead of Sobey. I'm not going to say that.
Right.
You can't say that.
Right. But it was probably it. Yeah. It was probably the quality of the cut of meat because the flavor was good. Ironically, as we talk about it, the single stout, Irish stout, that we had
Rudy.
From Lost Art, Rudy, that's what I used as my braising stock.
Mm-hmm.
And about I used a pint of that, and I put another pint of water in. So it was 50-50, gave it a great flavor. The vegetables were wonderful, had some that little seed packet that comes with them, right? And then some aromatics and a little bit of garlic, and it worked out. The flavor was
good. You put
them
all in at the same time.
Yeah. Yep. And the flavor was good, but the texture was terrible.
I used to do that, and now I do the corned beef on its own, and I throw the cabbage in the last 20 minutes or so because I don't like it.
Well, the Brussels sprouts are compact, so they kept their integrity.
They were okay.
Yeah, they kept their integrity.
But you put them on the bottom.
I did with the carrots and the onions, and it kind of held the corned beef up off the bottom. But
the carrots had to be mushed by the time.
No,
you got
they
them
weren't.
Up.
It was just you cut them with a fork. They weren't falling apart at all. It was only 300 degree oven.
Okay.
But at the end of the day,
that's
I was
weird.
Super surprised
weird.
That corned beef was rubber.
I'd give it to the dog.
Well, they got it.
Oh, you have dogs.
Yeah, right, I have
now.
Plural, right. Yeah.
How do you know when you've made it? When you're so uppity that you can buy your dog.
Come on.
You can buy your dog a dog, okay? I can't even afford a dog anymore. I'm eating the dog food.
Right,
We're on scraps at my house.
Right. Well, I'm just bringing over the stuff my dogs won't eat, right? Yeah, that's what I'm doing for you. No.
You actually bought your dog a dog. Right. I haven't really told anybody yet, but I guess
you
I just did.
Yeah, you just did. No, we adopted a 2-year-old black lab. there was a couple weeks, honestly, where it was pretty touch and go because they, I have, they're both females, and the lab's about 75 pounds. The Labradoodle is about 65. So they're, but the doodle's taller.
And it's 1 pound of brain, 64 pounds of doodle.
Right, yeah, you know that. And but the lab.
I love her, though. She's my girlfriend.
Right. And the lab, you know what? You'll love the lab, too. You haven't seen her yet. But smart, picked up the dog door in less than an hour.
Wow.
And she walks on a leash and doesn't pull. She'd been treated well. And then
so she can train the other one.
We're hoping. We're hoping.
That doesn't work. Trust
right.
me.
Yeah.
We tried that. We got a dog when Mickey was dying, and we thought Mickey was going to train him. His name was Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
Stanley disappeared.
Come on.
Best
really?
Thing that ever happened.
Mickey Stanley? Your dogs were Mickey Stanley?
That's just the way,
was there a baseball thing going on in your house? Or what the hell,
just
man?
The way it went.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, right. no, we Mickey was named after Mickey Mouse because my kids were little, and he had a squeaky voice. And Stanley was because the Red Wings won the Stanley Cup right then. He was Lord Stanley.
Right.
So anyway, but Lord Stanley disappeared, which was the best thing that ever happened to us.
Yeah. Yep.
That dog I did not care for. Now, let's talk about grilling dogs. No.
I did some of that.
I've been to Korea.
Yeah.
My daughters are, you know, all very tight, right? The two oldest, in specific, didn't have a dog like their younger sister had. So they had to go get a dog, and the one in Tennessee found these blue heel.
Yep, blue heelers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aussie sheepdog.
Right.
And they're a mix with something else. And so my wife and Maggie drove down there. They went to the farm to pick them up. They both got their dogs. Maureen and Maggie came back, and you know, over the weeks, they're raising their dogs, videoing, oh, blah, blah, blah. You know, everything's the dogs now. So the dog in Tennessee looks like a blue heeler. The dog down the street from me looks like a blue heeler got nailed by a dachshund.
Oh, really?
It's this wiener dog with blue heeler colors. And my son-in-law is not happy.
Right, yeah, right. Was expecting a little bit bigger dog,
he's
a little more robust.
He's a duck hunter. He right. was hoping he'd have something to take in the woods.
Yeah.
This is going to be a tunnel dog. You're going to send this after the mongoose or right. something.
You never know.
I think he's adorable, though.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and he loves me. And, yeah. of course, dogs do. I'm a dog person.
Well,
right?
they know. They certainly know.
They
a
do.
Dog knows if they
do.
If you love them or not. And that's the beauty of this. We were... I had adopted a dog only other one time, and it didn't go well, right? So I was real hesitant.
Yeah, that could be tough.
But we found this one, and like I said, there was a couple of weeks where it was touch and go a couple of times, a lot of teeth gnashing. Nobody tied into each other, but they were close, you know? So it was like, ooh, do we keep her, do we not? Do we keep her, do we not? And then it kind of like, it broke, and everything was good. And it's there. One sleeps on one side of the bed, one sleeps on the other side of the bed at night, and it's just... You know, we got a couple watchdogs now, so it's kind of cool. But, you know, double the vet bills, double the food bill.
My wives do the same thing.
Right, yeah. You know, actually, I've tripled the food bill because what the dogs don't eat, I got to buy for Bob. So it's just like, geez, Louise, this is crazy. But good thing they like brisket fat because I can bring that to your house, too.
Well, you know what? Zeus, God bless him, he was probably one of the best dogs we ever had. But
he was an Airedale Rottweiler, right?
Yeah.
God, he was a good dog.
He was...
Turns out he can't fly.
When I trimmed brisket, he would just go out and plop down in the driveway next to me. And
right.
I'd always set up the big canopy and the tables, and he says, oh, man, this is my night.
Yep.
And I'd start trimming the brisket, and I'd just chuck those. Because raw red meat's the best thing you can give a dog.
Right. Yep.
According to my vet.
Oh, you're right, because the lab, the second day I had her, went out in the freezer and had three little fillets, right? I grabbed two of them.
You taught them how to open it?
No, I grabbed two of them, and I put a unwrap them. They're, you know, cryovac. I unwrap them and put them on the counter, and went into the restroom. I came back, and I only had one fillet. So the second day I had her.
Frozen.
Yeah, right. Gone, baby.
Plastic and all.
No. I had them out of the plastic, but yeah,
oh
it was gone. And so luckily I had the third one. But anyway. Hey, you're listening to the BS on the Grilling Guys. We'll get into something fun. What's your grilling calendar looking like? We're going to talk about ours. Stick with us. We'll be back.
And we're going to talk about guns.
Okay, cool.
The Grilling Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fennvalley.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats, as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM. It's Country with a Twist. We're in Lowell. We're in Granville. We're in Kalamazoo, Portage, Otsego. We're everywhere,
and
man.
And we're all over Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
That's right.
So if you're tuning in up north, KLQ, any of those stations, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Over at the Fan in, or is it the Game in Lansing? I always screw that one up. Anyway.
Well, there's fans at games, so we'll go with it.
Yeah, I know. That's what messes me up.
Speaking of a fan,
we got
a guy on the grilling line right now that we're a big fan of, and that's Merle Shoemaker from Allen Bob's. Hey, Merle, how you going, babe?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you guys?
Hey, buddy. I was in your store this week getting some ammo, and I see the ammo prices have crept up. I know the prices on everything are going, but my thought was, it doesn't matter if the prices have gone up. They're not coming down. They're only going to go up worse. So maybe we should see how the supplies are and the stocks are that Allen Bob's have and get in there and get while the getting's good, because this economy is goofy, really goofy.
Yeah, you know what? I've never seen anything like this where we've had, you know, price increases from our manufacturers and, you know, on a 3-month basis, you know, where it used to be, you know, if we had a price increase from any of the ammo manufacturers that was 2% and we thought that was a huge deal, you know, they're running price increases 15-20% on some ammo SKUs, and the guns aren't getting any better. So, you know, it's not like, you know, we've got a pricing for the year right now. Pricing is just going to keep on going up because they're increasing pricing almost by the month right now.
Well, I think they're going to blame it on Putin.
Yeah, they probably will. Right. But we all know the truth, right?
Yeah. So Merle, we all know the price is going up, but you've got some, right?
We do have some firearms. Yeah, we're getting more and more, you know, all the time. You know, there's definitely a supply issue. There was and there still is on, you know, some rifle ammo and you know, some rifles. We are starting to get some shotguns, so we got a good supply of shotguns for the turkey season right now, and now's a good time to get them because they're just going to go up in price a little bit more.
So if you just tuned in, this is the Grilling Guys on the Michigan Talk Network and Jethro. We're talking to Merle Shoemaker from Allen Bob Sports and Millbrook Tack. Okay, we always talk about Allen Bob's, and we kind of leave the Millbrook off, and the Millbrook is actually a huge piece of your business, but it's also one of the cooler pieces because you have a staff in there. You have the sweetest young ladies that you would ever want to do business with. Every time I go in there, they like wait on you hand and foot. I feel like, you know, I'm getting set up for something, but those people are so kind and they're just a wonderful bunch of people. But the product you have on, like, boots and anything equestrian related, it's fantastic. It goes so nicely with, you know, your merger. It goes so nicely with your sporting goods stuff. It's like, it's kind of genius.
Yeah, we have a fantastic staff, especially on the Millbrook Millbrook side, and you know, we have a number of things that cross over in the boot line. You know, it's not just Western boots, but you know, we sell, you know, work boots and you know, a lot of casual shoes, fishing shoes, and things like that. And we have a wonderful staff to help you out with any questions you might have, for sure.
And a couple cool things happened. I was on the phone with the jerky people from Kearney, Nebraska, or Kearney, Nebraska, the samples I gave you when I was in there.
Yeah.
And I took a video of your girls sampling the jerky up at the front counter, and they were going nuts about this new Wagyu beef jerky. And so I videoed them because they're just so funny and just so impromptu. And I sent that video to the lady out in Nebraska, and she said, "Oh my gosh, Millbrook Tax, my favorite store in Michigan. I went there all the time. I'm their best customer." She apparently used to live in Michigan.
Oh.
And she knew you guys. So,
oh, that's great.
It's a smaller world than it was.
Right.
But the other thing I happened to do was hang out in your fishing department, because I'm going steelhead fishing. And your man, Mr. Johnson, back there, he tuned me up.
He's magic.
He is. But he turned me on to, you know, told me exactly what I needed and set me up and broke my wallet.
Too bad he can't.
We can definitely set anybody up, you know, with their fishing gear. But, you know, a lot of people don't know if they've got some problems with their gear, too, that, you know, a little miscue in their fishing reel and that type of thing, that these guys are good enough to know that they can help you out with that type of stuff. It might be something simple, and we do offer a rod repair service as well. So,
well, he was doing that when I was there. He was working on some rod issues with some real issues. But
real issues.
That's a great point. And I told him what I was going to do, and he told me exactly when and where and how to get into this spot I was going to, and I'm like, man, this is what I need, because I don't fish a lot. I love to fish.
Well, the beautiful thing about Alan Bob's is that these are guys that actually do what they're talking about.
Yeah.
They're not the aisle manager at the big box store. These are sportsmen. These are guys that get out and do it. And Merle, you guys are always just awesome about putting the right guy in the right department, or gal in the right department, so that when you're walking in there, there's things that that you have questions with, and they've done it, and they talk to guys all the time, so it's just great advice.
Yeah, word of advice is budget twice the time you would think it would take, because I can't get out of that place.
Right, yep. So
yeah,
Merle,
usually you're talking about honey holes and everything else with somebody besides, you know, your equipment. So
yeah,
you know, there's not too many people that give up those kind of spots.
Yeah, exactly.
We try to give up as many as we can.
Well, I'm going to fish in a place I haven't fished for steelhead before, and this Mr. Johnson, he clarified things that I hadn't thought about, like, you know, the water height. Why I shouldn't go yet, and you know, the water's not clear enough yet, and you know, where to put my bait in the water. That's something
on your hook.
Yeah, no, I'm using swivels and jigs, and I always wonder about, you know, the height. So he just told me exactly, you're going to want it a little higher, because the fish that are hunting and eating, they're going to be lower and they're going to be looking up. So he gave me some just really cool ideas, and I can't wait. I'm so excited. I'm bringing my bride and my son and his future bride, and we're gonna tear it up at the Oxy plant.
So Merle, sometimes you're beside the water, and sometimes you're in the water when you're steelhead fishing. You guys got waders, boots, and all of that equipment as well?
Yeah, we do have quite a bit of equipment right now. We're a little shy on waders right now, only because that's been a very big supply issue with waders. Most
right.
of the waders that are made all over the place are coming from China.
They're waiting on the boat.
Yeah.
And yeah, there has been a major supply issue with waders, but I'm getting from one of our wader manufacturers that we are going to see some more waders here pretty soon.
All right. Well, we're tired of waiting for waders, so we're going to go, Hoser.
All right.
Merle Shoemaker, Alan Bob Sports, Millbrook Tack. You guys are you're a one notch above the hardware store for me, which is like one of my favorite places to hang out.
Right, 68th and 131 on the south side of Grand Rapids. Get down there, check them out. It's Al and Bob Sports. Merle, thanks for your time. Always great to chat with you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for talking to me.
All right, hey, you bet, buddy.
You bet.
All right, coming up next, a little baby back ribs. It's that time to go. Stick with us. We'll be back.
We live it. We love it. Al and Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport. It's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Teas, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's going to be big.
Welcome back. You listen to the grilling guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, the Michigan Talk Network, Jethro FM. I don't care where you're tuning in. I'm just glad you are. And I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob. And we probably ought to talk a little bit about some barbecue.
You can't say that.
I did.
I want to talk about baby backs.
You know what? We get a lot of questions from people about baby back ribs.
It's a constant.
Yep. And
or ribs in general.
Right. I mean, it like everything else, price is up a little bit. This is one that you might want to listen a little bit on this, because with the two or three tips that we're going to give you, you're going to get a better result. And I often say, hey, you know what? Try it. You're not going to mess up much if you're buying this or that or the other thing. But a rack of ribs is $20 now. And so, you know, you mess one of those up, it doesn't sting, but you're kind
of... Is it really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. They're like $4.99 a pound.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I just pulled out my last ribs from the hog I bought last year.
Right.
So I haven't bought any pork in a long time.
Right. Nope.
I'm going to get another hog this year.
Well, and the thing is the stuff you get at Sobeys is a little bit better grade. So, but you pay a little more, but it's damn worth it. But I'm just saying, so it's $20, right? It's $20 for a rack of ribs right now, and then you're going to throw some sauce on them and some seasoning and give them some love. So what we're going to do is kind of break that down. Take it away, Barbecue Bob.
No, go ahead. You're on a roll. Take care of it.
Well, prep is a big thing. Okay. You're going to get generally the cryo.
That's me being lazy.
Right, I understand. You know what? We've been doing this 12 years. I can read that like a book. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to open a beer here.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, knocked my glass over.
It was an empty cup, for crying out loud. We are
Squirrel! Come on, we're talking about
taking
rib.
Care of some lost art. This is Dune Climber.
Right. This is the good one.
It's a beautiful one.
Right. But anyway, back to ribs. Baby back ribs. Prep is key on these. They're going to come in a cryovac package, right?
Typically.
That plastic typically is where you're going to get them. If you get them at Sobeys in the meat market, he'll wrap them up for you. They might be in a cryovac, depending on how busy he is. They generally unwrap them. But, you know, ribs are ribs. That's how they come. So, but there are better grades of them than others. So go to your butcher.
Do you suppose Sobeys all come in cryovac too?
You know, I've seen him in his meat case in cryovacs
have
from
you?
Time to time,
yeah,
not on a regular basis.
I'm trying to think, and I don't remember.
I don't know the answer to that.
I don't buy many ribs anymore. I'm not rib averse, but I'm close.
Right. So when you look at your rack of baby back ribs, they're longer on one end and they taper to the other. So they're there's a couple things you want to do. I always rinse them and then pat them dry. Whatever that solution is that's in the package with
slime.
Them. Yeah.
Pink slime.
I don't want it. I don't want it on my product. So that's rule number one. Rule number two is flip them over on the back so that you've got a bowl curve, not the hump curve, right? You got them on the back and there's a membrane back there.
You want to see the bone.
Right. And if somebody tells you that they leave the membrane on there, they cook them a lot different than I do, because I don't like that membrane. It doesn't cooked down.
I know a big barbecue guy that does it.
I know.
I don't like it.
I don't like it like that either, because the bottom side of that rib doesn't have a lot of meat on it, but I don't want that membrane there. So take a butter knife, usually under the shorter end, not the longer end, but whatever, wherever you want to start. Take a butter knife and run it between the bone and that membrane and get a little flap of it up, right? And then here's the secret. Take a piece of paper towel and dry paper towel.
It's not a secret.
Put it in your hand and grab that between your thumb and your index finger. Grab that membrane with that paper towel in your hand, and that'll give you the grip that you need. And then you just start pulling slowly. Don't rip it hard, but just pull it slowly, and it'll come right off the back of there.
And here's one thing I'd like to add, Jop. When you flip those over and you see that bone and basically a sheet of white plastic on the back of your ribs.
Yeah, yeah. Right? That's
like
the membrane.
Looks like plastic coating.
Yeah.
You might notice that there have been some incisions made where it's like been sliced by the guy who chopped that baby up. As very often, there'll be a, I don't know what they're doing at the time, but somebody's making a bunch of cuts. These guys move those knives around so fast when they're processing hogs that, you know, they slice the membrane a little bit. So very often, you can't get a hold of a nice piece at the smaller end of those ribs, because if you do, you'll just rip off, you'll tear off an end and you're stuck with nothing. So you, what you might have to do is go down, what I've lately done is I go down to sort of the middle of that rack, and I'll find a nice clean portion, and I'll find a spot where I can get that butter knife underneath that membrane, and then I'll slide it and keep sliding it up, and then I'll start prying it up, and I'll get a nice big tent going.
Sure.
And then I can put my paper towel in there, and I can slowly lift, and I'll get the whole thing off without breaking it. Because if you get down to that small end and there's slices, you're gonna be doing it twice. Not a big deal. Not a big deal.
And those are baby backs, and they're gonna be a little meatier. Right, because you're right up by the loin now, and you're going to get a little
high on the hog.
High on the hog. That's exactly right. So
yeah, and that's a thing that you'll either really want just ribs or you'll want baby backs. It's one or the other. Because if you just want some St. Louis ribs, you know, we're talking about spare ribs, then you won't have that big puffy piece of meat, and everybody's different on that,
right?
You know, somebody wants the riblets and all that stuff. You know, if you're eating soul food, you're gonna have had the riblets and all that stuff with it. Baby backs are the thick, chunky piece. You got to cook that baby differently because it will want to fall off the rib, and that's kind of a no-no. You want to be able to tug it off. You don't want it falling off, but there's enough mass there that if you cook it wrong, you'll lose your ribs.
Right. So after we get the membrane off, there's a variety of opinions on this, but I take a little regular yellow mustard, French's mustard, cheap mustard, doesn't matter, because you're not after the mustard taste. It's seasoning glue is all it is.
I get these nice little – Spartan has a great little, I think it's like a 32-ounce bottle. It's really cheap.
Yeah.
And it's just yellow mustard. Just as good as anything.
Yeah, just yellow mustard. And you're going to squirt a little bit on the back, on that part where you took the membrane off, and on the other side, and rub it in, because all you want it to be is a little bit tacky so that when you put your seasoning on there, it adheres and it doesn't fall off. Right.
And it doesn't matter how much you put on because you won't taste it.
Right. The mustard, you mean.
It'll disappear. Yeah.
Yep.
So don't get overly concerned about, well, how much do I...
Yeah.
You put enough on so your spices stick.
Right, yep. You cover that.
And you want to put it on primarily the top meaty side.
Yeah. Yep. You can put it on the bottom, and all you're doing is seasoning the stuff between the bones. On the top, you're going to have meat over top of all of them. So that's great to do. But so the next thing is, are you going to grill them or are you going to smoke them?
What are you going to do?
I'm a smoker.
What do you have in your backyard?
There you go.
Because... Right. Now, depending on where you go, well, let's just take Texas, for example. Texas, one side of Texas is going to go over the fire, and the other side of Texas, and I can't remember which is which anymore, is going to go indirect, which is completely different. You go down to Alabama, they're going to go over the fire.
Yep.
And that's a different way to cook. Not one I'm real comfortable with, but I'm getting there.
Well, the problem with that is they cook
faster.
Too quick if you, because a rib is full of cartilage, right? And you want to break that down to make that tender. And if you don't, it's really chewy.
Well, it's not only cartilage, but it's connective tissue.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Collagen and all sorts of other things, fat and stuff you want to render.
Right. Yep, exactly. So I'm an indirect guy. That's where I'm more comfortable.
Well,
I feel
that's
like
how you grew up.
Right. I feel, yeah, I've never been direct. You guys have listened to me for a while. You know I'm not direct, right? I beat around that bush all day. But anyway, at this point, that's an easier cook for me. If it's direct over the heat, I think that it's easy to go too far too fast. And
Reminds me of high school.
To me, there's that too. To me, the slower you go, the better these ribs are going to be. Do you wrap them, Bob, or do you not?
You know, that's like a complete segment right there, because we're getting into an area that we weren't necessarily budgeting time for. Let's explore some of that a little bit, because I think we're just breaking open a wound here.
Okay. Coming up next, we're going to explore some ribs. Stick with us. We'll be back. This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com, Garrett'sAppliances.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Job, it never gets dull. My grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I'll tell no lies. And do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills a T-bone faster.
Welcome back, Yarlis, the Grilling Guys. Hey, if you're just tuning in, you missed the first half of this conversation. Catch it on the podcast or go to our website, thegrillingguys.com, because we were halfway through cooking a set of ribs, and then we ran out
this
of segment time.
That's how we roll.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. You know, that's not atypical. You're right. That's not atypical how it goes at the grill.
Well, it's because we got this guy here named Conrad who's making faces at us and whipping his hands around saying, you got to cut it off and go.
Right. You know, you know, if you were doing this on your deck, you would not have a 10-minute segment.
Right,
I'm just telling you right now.
You'd have a second beer.
Right.
Which
right.
I just opened.
Right, exactly. So anyway, what we were talking about is – how are you wrapping the ribs or not? And I'll throw mine out. I am an or not guy. But
really,
having said that,
you don't wrap ribs.
I don't. But having said that, I've got a little squirt bottle, usually with some apple juice.
That's what she said.
In it, and I'll spritz my ribs.
See, here we go. Yeah. This dog has a dog, and he has a spritzer.
I'm a rib spritzer.
You have a lisp all of a sudden, I know. Yes.
So, but anyway, you want to keep some moisture on it. And that's 5 seconds and put the cover down. You don't lose that much heat. And but the moisture is important. You don't want them to dry out
and
get crunchy.
Speaking of moisture, the latest moisture we have is from Lost Art Dune Climber. What do you think of that? That's their IPA.
Yeah, well, it's an IPA, but it's an orange peel IPA.
Yeah, it is.
It's wonderful.
I love the artwork. It reminds me of Silver Lake.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Right behind the dune. I bet that might be where they came from.
But there's a sailboat there, so I don't know that anybody's dumb enough to put a sailboat on Silver Lake.
I don't know. It's pretty good size. You can zip back and forth.
Oh
a
no!
Bit.
But the speedboats are monsters right, on that thing. Right, they will. No.
Yeah. But anyway. So
okay. So. You were talking about your spritzer and your dog's dog. So
No. Those were your comments, not mine. Yeah.
If you're doing indirect and wrapping, you're going to potentially end up with the best rib you could ever do. But let's say you like that Alabama, that West Texas style, where you go right over the fire. You're going to have a dry rib. I mean, you're going to you're gonna cook her a little quick, folks. So I'm going to say now you better wrap it because it's going to give you a little bit better product. If you're going indirect and you just want to spritz it or spray it, get your spray bottle full of apple juice or tequila, if you want, if it's Cinco de Mayo, then
coming up, yeah.
then I would say indirect is fine if you're going to mop it. Go ahead and keep mopping it. But be careful how you do that because if you put a bunch of seasoning or a nice amount of seasoning, don't mop it off. Make sure whatever seasoning you're using is complemented by the mop sauce. And
so,
then you'll
so
be
describe
okay.
with that. What is a mop sauce?
Well, you get this little bitty mop. It literally looks like a old school mop. And
right.
It's like this wooden handle with a little...
Well, that's the mop, but what's the sauce?
I'm going to do what I want to do based on the profile, but it's going to be like watered down barbecue sauce, or it's going to be, I'm saying apple cider,
which is where I was going. It's thinner. It's not barbecue
and
sauce.
And vinegar and, oh, maybe some ancho.
Chili?
Ancho on thyme.
Never.
Something like that. So I'm going to play with profiles just like everything, just like you do when you're, you know, you get out there and you get all crazy and you start grabbing stuff and you go, what the heck?
Right.
I'm eating them.
Yeah, right. And generally, you know, well, maybe you don't, but I know what things taste like and pretty much what they turn out like because
and you play around.
Most of the time I'm using the same dozen spices.
Right.
Right. And I know what this one does if I put it in combination with that because you know what? I'm a grilling guy and I've ruined some things and I've made some fantastic things and you tend to remember both, right?
I think that's a country song there, Conrad. I've ruined some things. Don't you hear that?
That's a Waylon song. Sure.
Yeah, right. I hear some twang coming up here.
You know what? In my old Ford pickup truck.
We're going to write one, Job. We're going to write one about right. some of the food you've
ruined. The grilling guy's rap's getting old. We should probably do a new country song, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Come on. We're in the bunker
the rap
now.
Song's successful. Let's talk about the losers we
right.
are.
All right. So we have sufficiently demolished ribs here. I'm not even sure if you guys got it figured out what we're doing.
No, I hope we confused them and made them think because...
Right.
We're just idiots like everybody else, and we just want to float some ideas out there. But the long and the short of it is you got direct and indirect. If you're going direct, you're going to have to use Job's little spritzer. And if you're doing indirect, no offense, Job. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings for that.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. They're my ribs. They're not yours. Be damned if I invite you over.
Oh, he's not hurt.
Yeah, maybe just a
his butt. Dog's dog is.
Maybe just a little. No. Do you sauce them or not?
That's a good question. You're full of good questions.
Right. And I'm an or not. I don't like sauced ribs. I like dry rubbed ribs. And if you want sauce, I dip them. I mean.
Oh, that's nice too.
Yeah. And personal. I mean, I'll serve two or three sauces on the table when I'm doing it and put a little on your plate and rub it in there. I'm not the guy that likes it all tackified and stuff like that.
And
that's not me.
This is a sexist remark, but I'm going to tell you that most women want them sauced, and they're going to want them sweet.
Right.
So
no, I agree with that.
So here's
that's
how
why the girls never come over and eat ribs at my house.
Here's how you please your girl, and you might get lucky as a result of it. Mm. You put some honey on them when you're glazing them off.
Right.
And then you melt a little butter, and then you put a little barbecue sauce on them, or in what order you like. It doesn't matter. I'd probably start with the butter, and then I'd put the barbecue sauce and finish them off with honey.
Mm-hmm. And so you're doing that predominantly after they're cooked?
10 minutes apart, something like that.
Predominantly after
they're
cooked.
They're still on the grill.
Right, and you're going to just finish them with that.
They're still on the grill.
You don't ever cook them with sauce on them.
Well, you're finishing them.
Right.
And you're going to do this to the point to where they get what we call tacky.
Yeah, right.
And that's easy for me.
I
softball. Come on.
I don't deny that. No, that one's too easy. I couldn't. That'd hurt if I'd have swung that hard.
I sent it.
Yeah, right.
I sent it.
So what about Mojo pork chop? So this is a little bit different cut on the hide.
Yeah,
the
it's pork called chop. Mojo. Okay.
No, I call it Mojo.
I know.
Because I'm a Dutch kid.
You're a gringo.
Right.
It's a Mojo. And a Mojo sauce is something that I've become very fond of. I love Mexican food anyway. But this is along the lines of like an orange lime. It's got some cumin, cayenne, garlic, oregano.
Is it a marinade?
Yes.
Okay. Right. So you're going to marinate pork chops.
You are. So I'm going to take half of this and marinate them. And then I'm going to take the other half and put it in my spritzer.
Okay. Yes, you are.
I want a spritzer.
You know what?
That
Christmas
sounds like
is a-coming.
Sounds like a Chevy vehicle.
Christmas is a-coming.
A Chevy spritzer.
Yeah, I know when your birthday is, too, man. You know what? We might get you. There's an apron. There's an apron and a T-shirt coming
this
about
this is
spritzers.
Revenge barbecue now.
Right, yeah.
This is what we got.
Yeah.
So, pork chop. You're going to have... 4-6 pork chops, whatever. You're going to get a cup and a half of orange juice. You're going to get several juiced fresh limes. You're going to take a quarter cup of Old World Olive Company 18-year balsamic. You're going to have some black pepper, cumin. I'll post this on the website. A little cayenne, and you can't do too much of it, but cayenne is a wonderful profile. You're going to have some garlic, and I'm going to do... chopped. I love the chopped bottles of garlic. I'm not going to lie. I rarely chop up a fresh garlic anymore. It's takes 1 5-10 minute function off my cook.
Yeah, that, and you never get demons in your house again after you've done that. So you got to just use it out of the jar.
Right. You like them demons.
Right.
We're going to have some fresh oregano, which I grow. And I'm going to use some garlic EVO from Old World Olive Company. We need to have them back on.
Oh, yeah.
They got some cool things going on. And then I'm going to take a small Spanish onion and slice it. And slice
up. This was a Mexican dish.
It is. Well, where do you think Mexicans came from?
Spanish onions? Could be.
Okay. They came from España.
And a splash of white wine.
España.
Right.
Yes, it's a Spanish wine.
Right. Conrad's waving the 30 seconds in front of me.
I think he gave you the middle finger.
Right, yeah. There, it was flanked,
you
but
garnish,
he did give me the middle
you
finger.
You do these pork chops. You garnish them with avocado slices, maybe some watercress. Do you like watercress?
I don't even know what it is.
Okay. And some sliced ripe tomatoes. You ever have those?
Those I like, yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on Jethro FM and the Michigan Talk Network.
Sorry about your luck.
We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Hey, make some Mojo chops when you get done today. Talk to you later.
See ya.